Praise the Lord. Thank you, ladies. What a blessing. That was great. And amen. I love it. God's word. That's what it does. Amen, Brother Hayes. That's what he talked about in Sunday school. Getting out the gospel and planting the seed. And that's what we do. Amen. That's what we keep doing, no matter what, no matter what's going on in our world. And certainly there's a lot of bad stuff going on, but you know what? We have the truth. We have the gospel. We have the seed, amen, and we need to keep getting it out. This week will be busy getting the seed out at the fair, and we have our tent set up. It's already looking real nice. Brother Chase and several other folks got together, and they did a beautiful job. Everything's looking very, very good, and we're looking forward to just a great week at the fair and seeing many people saved. And so I trust you'll be involved in that and pray. If you signed up that you're going to pray three times a day, pray. And you can pray even more than that. It's okay. We'll let you. It'll be all right. But that's what it's all about. God's word changes lives. Amen. Well, I want to talk to you about something that's been on my heart all week long. I've just been thinking about this. I looked up lots of verses, and you know, one person one time was kind of mad at me and said, "You just use too much scripture." Well, I don't think you can use too much scripture. This morning, you better have your Bibles ready and ready to turn, either that or have your pen out and ready to write down, because I do have a lot of scripture. Just such a blessing. This week, we've had the funerals I mentioned about, and at least two times this week, two times this week as a group, we met in a cemetery. And I read this passage of Scripture two times this week already. We read this passage of Scripture because verse 18 says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." And so twice we gathered a little group, several family members and friends of loved ones there in the cemetery. And with tears, we read some words that God said would bring comfort. Well, one of the things that I wanted to talk about is, the title of the message, Why Our Funerals Are Different. You know, it's amazing. I don't know what everybody else does, though I've been to a few other funerals before, I suppose. And certainly I always wonder how the unsaved even go to a funeral. I don't know how they ever go to a cemetery. Don't know how they look in a casket and somehow think they're going to beat death some way. I don't know. I don't understand it. But we had a rejoicing time at two funerals this week. And there's a reason why our funerals are different. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Father, bless now, please, the preaching of thy word. Thank you for the beautiful music today. And thank you for everyone who's here. Please give us some things that'll help us today. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. If there's someone here today without Christ, please save them. God, don't let them leave here lost. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, I don't know how many years ago it was. I had a funeral director. In fact, I've had this happen several times. And even this week, it was talked about a little bit. They say, you know, your services, your funeral services, they're different. They're just different. And I've thought about it. I've kind of watched. I've watched you. I've watched our people and different folks involved. And as I study the scripture, as I worked on both messages for the funerals, I thought about what is it? Why are our funerals different? And I'm going to give you a lot of verses today, but it's really kind of a simple thing. It's really a one word as to the answer to the question. But number one, point number one, the difference is hope. That's the difference right there. Hope. Honestly, in our text, it says in verse 13, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." The difference is hope. Folks, we all sorrow. We have a sorrow when we lose somebody. Somebody dies and they are no longer part of our life. It's a hard thing. It's a difficult time for us. But yet, he says we sorrow not as those who have no hope. It's a different sorrow. We're not going to a cemetery and watching them lower that casket in the ground and saying, "Oh, I'll never see him again." No, listen to me. We're going and saying, "See you later. See you later." There is hope. The difference is hope. in verse 18, he says about this passage, which talks about how they may be asleep now. It may seem like that's all it is, but hey, one of these days we're going to be gathered together with them. He says, comfort one another with these words. Hope. Hope. He says, comfort one another with hope, because there is hope. Amen. Brother Hayes in Sunday school, he got into, you know, and he told me, he said, you know, I think we're in trouble. I think our country's in trouble. I think it's bad. I think it's getting worse. It is getting worse. They just talked about a new statue to Satan in Detroit. And if you haven't heard about it, I'm not going to spend much time because I don't ever want to give him any kind of publicity. But you know what? There is still hope for you and I. Whatever the world is doing, or whatever they decide to do, and no matter how bad it gets in this old world, we always have this. We always have hope. Now look, lost people, Ephesians 2 verse 12. This was me before I got saved. This was you before you got saved, if you are saved. Ephesians 2 verse 12 says this, that at that time, talking about when we were lost, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. What's he say here? Having no hope and without God in the world. You know, it doesn't shock me that people do all the things they do. They have no God. They have no hope. But we do. That's the difference right there. They have no hope. Look what it says in Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 1. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 1. Now, I told you, you better be ready to turn pages or just write down. Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 1. Talking again about the lost, talking about the unsaved, talking about folks who, again, have no hope. Notice what else they have. It says, I returned, considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun. Behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, they had no comforter. See it there? They had no comforter, and on the side of their oppressors there was power, but they had no comforter. Oh, they've got all kinds of things going on, and the world and the worldly people, they have all kinds of money perhaps, and they may have prestige, and they may have fame in front of all the lights and all of that, but my Bible says where there's no hope, there's also no comforter. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:32, just write it down, the wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. That's it. That's it. The righteous hath hope. The righteous, according to 1 Thessalonians 4, wherefore comfort one another with these words. We have hope. We have comfort. The difference is hope. It's hope today. Honestly, you can tell. You know, as I meet with families, as I talk to families, as I talk to the Pat, as I talk to Annabelle before they went to heaven, you know, there's a look on their face. It's not a look of fear. It's not a look of dread. It's not a look of despair. It's a look of hope. Amen. Why? Because we have hope. If you're here today without Christ, listen to me. You have no hope, the Bible says. But you can have hope. Death doesn't have to bother you. Boy, some folks, you know, they can't handle a funeral. They can't handle looking at a body in a casket. They can't handle. You know why that is? It's because they have no hope. There's no hope. Now, you know, a couple things about the difference being hope here. I just want to show you. Look at Lamentations. Back in the Old Testament, back way back there after Jeremiah, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. Lamentations, and to lament is to weep, and certainly Lamentations, there's all kinds of weeping in it, but there's some good stuff in it. Here in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22, he says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. This is real to us. This is real to the Christian. We're not just playing games. We're not just pulling out a membership card and saying, hey, I'm a member of a church. No, this is real. The Lord is my portion. The Lord, therefore, will I hope in him. Amen. It says, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. And you know what? When that time comes, When it's your time to come, my Bible says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And it's going to be a wonderful time. A wonderful time. Yes, amen. And according to this, it's not anything that we've done. It's not anything we deserve. It's according to his mercy. God had mercy on me. And by the way, it's not only his mercy. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 16. 2 Thessalonians 2. Some of you decided, I'm not going to look all these up. I hope you write them down. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation. Look what it says. And good hope through grace comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Doesn't matter what's going on in our lives. Doesn't matter if it's a trial, a persecution, a difficulty. God has grace so that you can hope. It just keeps going. God's, and again, grace is not something we deserve. It's something God gives. And it is the grace of God that gives us hope. You know, it's not laying on our bed about to die and thinking, well, you know, I don't deserve this and I don't deserve that and I don't deserve. Listen to me. It has nothing to do with what we deserve. It has to do with what God has given us. And when you go to heaven as a Christian, when you go to heaven and you see that beautiful mansion, it is nothing that you've done. It's all that he did. And it's according to his mercy, according to his grace that we can hope. And we talk about it all the time. Why? Because it's real with us. Why are your funerals different? Well, because we hope. It's real to us. It's our life. It's what we are looking forward to. It's, you know, as our I preached last Sunday night, talked about all these brown spots coming on the body, you know, and you get old and things happen and hair falls out and brown spots get on your face and your arms and your hands and all that kind of stuff. Hey, but it isn't necessarily just a gloomy thing. It's a hope because it reminds me over and over, one of these days, I'm going to heaven. The difference is hope. It's not because of anything I've done. It's because of what he did. It's his mercy. It's his grace. And all that we do, all that we did. Now think about this. All that money you made, whatever fame you may have achieved, whatever position you may have, oh, whatever beauty that you have had over the years, you know what? At death, it's gone. It's gone. Aren't you glad you don't? That's not where your hope is? By the way, all of you that look in the mirror and you don't look like you did when you were 20, right? You're like me and you say, oh, wow. You know, I used to say, oh, a wrinkle. Now I say, oh, another several wrinkles. I used to say, ah, a brown spot. Now it's, wow, they're taking over, right? You know, but I'm not counting on that. So I'm not going to get discouraged about that. I'm not planning on that. You know, we have watched over the years, we've watched our cars rust. We've watched our houses deteriorate. Now we see our bodies, they deteriorate. But my hope isn't in any of that. My hope, and by the way, everybody deep down, they know. That's why folks get so depressed. The older they get, it seems, they have no hope. That's why it bugs them to see a body in a casket. And I point here because that's where the casket has been this week, twice, open, and people, oh, you know, I just can't take that. Listen to me. That body, it's just a shell. It's just temporary. This body, it's just, oh, I love myself. Don't get too attached. Don't get too attached. We asked if, oh, I shouldn't even get into embalming. We were always talking to funeral directors about different things, but, they have to do that so it's preserved long enough. Are you listening? Hey, this old body, don't count on it. Don't count on your money. Don't count on your fame. Don't count on your position. It has nothing to do with what we did or what we do. It's all what he's done. That's my hope. Hey, that mansion up there, I didn't do anything. Those streets of gold, I didn't do any of that. Those gates of pearl, I didn't do any of that. The beauty of heaven and all of it, it's not anything. It's what he did for me. The difference, my friend, is hope. Number two, let me give you the doctrines of hope. The doctrines of hope. And I'm just going to go through these quickly. Romans 15, verse 4. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. And I really hope these verses, I hope this is encouraging to each of us today. Romans 15 and verse 4. And I'm telling you, it is the reason that Brother Hayes can go to Columbus and to a fair as we go to the fair here in Lenawee County. Because there's somebody, Brother Hayes, there's somebody out there. There's somebody at one of those military bases. They're driving their car in there at 5 o'clock in the morning. And they're thinking, you know what? I just have nothing to look forward to. There is no hope out there. There's people that actually, they pay attention and they realize, hey, I'm going to die someday and I wonder if there is something else. Amen. And you know what? Here's what the Bible says, Romans 15 verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Talking about the Bible, that we through patience and comfort of the what? Scriptures might have what? Hope. You say, preacher, what should we do for the people out there that are lost? Give them the Word of God. Because that's why I'm so excited today. That's why I got up yesterday and we've got a family here who's just lost their loved one. And we sang victory in Jesus and we rejoice and praise God. And some of you might want to tell your face, it'd be okay to be happy. Amen. We have hope. We have hope. How do you know? Because God gave me His Word. And I can read it. And you know what? Read it day after day after day after day. And that casket with your loved one, it won't bother you so much. Amen. The Word of God. Doctrines of hope. What's another one? Look at 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 8. Again, I'm going fast. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 8. The Bible says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet. What is it? The hope of what? Salvation. Amen. Thank God for the doctrine of salvation. My Bible calls it here, my helmet. Amen. Amen. It's what I know. I know. I know. I know that I'm saved. These dear ladies, before they went to heaven, you know, you ask them, Where are you going to spend eternity? In heaven? In heaven? I love this story. I always think about this with Pat's husband, Ed. Back in 2011, I preached his funeral. And Ed was in one of the nursing homes or in the hospital. I don't remember which one it was. And Ed was starting to have trouble hearing. And one of the attendants or somebody there, a nurse's assistant or somebody, they came in and they said something about, have you been shaved yet? And he looked up at her, he said, well, of course I've been saved. And she said, well, she kind of misunderstood him. She said, well, who did it? He said, Jesus Christ. Isn't that good? That's so pretty. Now that's because you live that every day, folks, because we have the Word of God and we have a salvation that doesn't just do something to make us a member of something. It does something to our soul. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And my life is new because of salvation. Man, I wish you'd get excited. Titus 1 and verse 2. Titus 1. And verse 2, the Bible says, in hope of eternal life. That's it. This isn't it, folks. This old body dies. It's not the end. Amen. Hello. Maybe you think it is. It's not. I'm telling you. In hope of eternal life. Chapter 3, verse 7. The Bible says here that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You know, death isn't such a big deal when you realize it's not the end. Death hath no sting, the Bible says. Oh, you know, we're going to miss folks and it's hard. My parents, I was sitting talking to the family and they said, well, I just can't imagine anybody ever being able to preach their own family's funerals. I said, you're looking at a guy that did. I preached my grandparents' funerals. I preached my mom's, my dad's funeral. I preached my wife's father's funeral. And I wouldn't have it any other way. You say, well, how can you do that? Here's how I can do that. Because of hope. That's how I can do that. Amen. It's not because I'm anything. It's just I believe him. Amen. God forgives us so we can go to heaven. Praise the Lord. And salvation, that's exactly what it's all about. It's hope. The doctrines of hope. The word of God. Salvation. How about this? Hebrews 6. Here's where some folks, even Christians, have a little trouble. Hebrews 6 and verse 18 is probably why they can't smile. Probably why they would never amen the preacher. Probably why they would never get excited. I don't know, because they may struggle with it. I don't know, maybe just because you're asleep. Hebrews 6 and verse 18 says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Notice what he says. It's the hope of our salvation. It's the assurance of our salvation. Thank God ye may know that ye have eternal life. We don't have to wonder about it. And I know some folks don't believe all that. You know, and I'm so glad that I'm not part of any of that. I'm so glad that when I got saved, God saved me. He said he'd save me, and he saved me. I'm so glad it has nothing to do with me. It had nothing to do with you when you got saved. How in the world do you think you could keep saved? Hello? You can't. You couldn't save yourself, and therefore you certainly couldn't keep yourself saved. Oh, if it was up to us, we'd be lost, saved, lost, saved, lost, saved, lost, saved, lost, saved. Finally give up, right? And then, wow, wouldn't that be a terrible thing if right before you died you thought a bad thought? And I'm so glad it's not like that. Because I'm still a sinner. You're still sinners. Thank God for the forgiveness of the blood of Jesus Christ. And it paid the price for my sin. That's why I have hope. That's why you can have hope today. That's why when somebody goes to heaven, you know, we have the hope. And I'm not talking about, well, I hope so. I'm talking about a blessed hope, knowing. We'll see you. We'll see you. Amen. I know it's good, Brother Chase. Thank you. How about this? Here's another doctrine of hope. It's all about life. Look at Ecclesiastes 9, verse 4. I've read this verse over and over, but I ran into it this time in my little study this week. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 4. I love the book of Ecclesiastes. Oh, man, it's exciting. You might want to read it. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 4. See, you're given a lot of verses. Amen. It's the Bible. It's what gives us hope. Notice what it says. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. Isn't that good? That is so good. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. You say, oh, I want the lion. That's bigger. Yeah, but if it's dead, who cares? It just rigor mortis sets in, right? But to him that has joined all the living, there's hope. You know what? When I got saved, I hooked up with the living. I received eternal life. And as long as there's life, there's hope. Amen. Amen. What are you talking about? Look at Acts 24, verse 15. Acts 24, verse 15. Here's what it's all about. Here's another doctrine of hope. Here's those doctrines, you know, that the world doesn't like. Brother Hayes read a passage, you know, people are trying to change the Word of God by getting rid of the King James Bible. They try to change the Word of God by attacking doctrines that are the foundations we believe for years and years. Acts 24, verse 15, here's one. It says, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. And that resurrection, that is life. That is life. That is life. Jesus was crucified. He died on a cross. He was buried in a tomb. But up from the grave, he arose. And my Bible says, because he lives, I can live. I'm having a good time. I wish you were. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, 19. I'm hurrying. Write them down. 1 Corinthians 15, 19. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19. The Bible says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead. this life isn't it. You know, somebody says, oh, you know, so-and-so, they're about to die and it'll be over. What a shame. Because it ain't over with me. Amen. Amen. And by the way, it's not over with them either, because my Bible talks about a place called hell. And my Bible talks about a place called hell as being a place where those who would not trust Jesus as their Savior, that's exactly where they go. It's not preached on nowadays too much, but it ought to be, because it is the truth. Thank God for the resurrection. Thank God for our text, 1 Thessalonians 4. Go back there. And what a great passage. I love reading this. It says, comfort one another with these words. It is a comfort. It really is. And it says, where it talks about sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Notice what he says in the next verse, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. The doctrine of the resurrection, it brings hope. Just write this down. We'll not turn there. 1 Peter 1. Oh, we're going to turn there. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. It's too good. It is good. I'm telling you, I wish we could write, look at all the verses I studied. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. 1 Peter 1, 3, it says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. What's that? That's living. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hey, do you have a lively Christianity? Maybe you ought to think about the resurrection a little bit. That's why we have the Lord's Supper. He wanted us to remember him. Not that he died. He wanted us to remember he also rose again. He also wanted us to remember, I'm coming again. Amen. That's what it's all about. Verse 21, same chapter. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. The resurrection. Doctrines of hope. How about the doctrine of heaven? Look at verse 4 of this same chapter. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. Hey, your IRA, your stocks that you own, all that kind of stuff, can you say it's incorruptible and undefiled? I don't think so. Well, my savings account, you mean the one that's earning you 0.011111%? I got news for you. It's not incorruptible either, and it's not undefiled. But we have an inheritance. Amen. It says an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away. That's how you feel about your retirement account, right? That it kind of faded away. This one up there, it doesn't fade. It's still there. Reserved. See it? Reserved in heaven for you. Now, I'm not real smart, but I understand this. If something's reserved in heaven for me, that means I got to go there to get it. Amen. That's what you're going to do someday if you're saved. If it's reserved in heaven for you, the doctrine of heaven. What a wonderful hope that is. Isn't that great? I don't have time to get into all of it. I always read John 14, in my Father's house are many what? Mansions. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. By the way, if he goes and prepares it, you got to figure it's going to be pretty nice. Amen. Amen. In heaven, they pave their streets with gold. We're trying to figure out how to get some of our paving done out here, and it's nasty old black stuff that's nasty. It stinks. They just sealed their parking lot next door. It stunk. You know, in heaven, it doesn't stink. It's gold, and it's shiny gold. It's a perfect, clear kind of gold. Amazing thing. I'm trying to get at least a couple of people to smile. You know, you have a couple of funerals. Somebody says, preacher, are you down? I'm up. That's because our funerals are different. We don't. Hey, look, we're not going to have a sad, oh, it's all over. It ain't all over. We're not going to do that no matter what the Supreme Court does. We're not going to do that no matter what the president does. We're not going to do that no matter what these Satanists do in Detroit. You know, we're not going to do that no matter what the Muslims are up to. I don't really care. I know what my God said, and we have the hope because God's filled his Bible with doctrines of hope. Did you know there's hope in each other? Yeah, look at 1 Thessalonians 2. While we're looking, 1 Thessalonians 2. Just Christians. That's why we're supposed to assemble ourselves together. That's why you ought to quit bugging each other and be Christians and act right and treat each other right. Amen. Hello, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? for ye are our glory and joy. You folks, each of us, that brings me hope. Amen. And when Pat Heitz goes to heaven, that gives me hope. When Annabelle Boomer goes to heaven, that gives me hope. When Brother Groh goes to heaven, that gives me hope. There's people up there. Think of all the folks. I have preached over 40 funerals since I came to this church. 40 funerals. Are you listening? That's a lot of funerals. You know what that is? That's a lot of hope. There's a whole bunch of folks up there that I love. Are you listening? Amen. Each other. The doctrines of hope. Just a Christian life. You know, it's every day. Brother Hayes, I thought he was going to get into my message a little bit. He was getting close. Colossians, look at it. Colossians 1, verse 23. I'm almost done with the first page. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. See it? See what it says there? That's why some of you are struggling a little bit every now and then, you know? Notice what it says. Continue in the faith, grounded and settled. That's why you get saved. That's not the end. Grow. Grow. Get in your Bible. Pray. Study. Grounded and settled. And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye've heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. He said, stay with the stuff. You need to stick with the gospel. Somebody says, preacher, you're always telling your testimony. You tell us your testimony. That's because I don't want to forget my testimony. I want to talk about the gospel. Hey, he saved me. Greatest day of my life. Amen. He saved me. I'll tell it and tell it and tell it and tell it. Why? Because it keeps giving me hope. And it might give somebody else hope as well. 1 John 3, verse 3, there's hope in growth. 1 John 3, verse 3. You know, I know that when we were young, we wanted to get old. We wanted to grow older and be able to drive and do all those kinds of things. But you know, it's sad that as Christians, we don't think much about growth. And yet my Bible says this, 1 John 3 and verse 3, he says, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And that's all, that's talking about our growth as a Christian. You know, purify. As I grow in the Lord, I get rid of stuff. As I grow in the Lord, I wash off. As I grow in the Lord, I get clean. I purify myself, even as he is pure. Boy, that's hope. You know, if you're living in the old world and living a worldly old life and still stick to the old things you watched and the things you listened to, the things you did, places you went, language that you spoke, and you hang on to all that, I can understand why a casket with a body in it might bother you. I want to look like him. I'm trying to get clean like him. I want to live like him. I want that hope because it is hope. It is hope. Amen. It's all part of our growth. How about our work for the Lord? Ephesians 1 verse 18. Ephesians 1 verse 18. Again, write these things down. I hate to skip anything. I'm having a good time. Ephesians 1 verse 18. Look what it says. It says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Hey, by the way, your eyes won't be enlightened if you never put them on the Word of God. Somebody says, you know, I don't understand the Bible. Do you read it? No. You won't understand it. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. We're talking about the one who created everything. And when he works in me, that's good stuff. That gives me hope. When's the last time he answered your prayer? When's the last time he did something great in your life? If it's been a long time, you know what? It doesn't have to be. It'll give you hope. It just happens. That's part of our Christian life. That's part of going to the fair and winning people to Christ. That's part of going soul winning. That's part of giving out gospel tracts and giving out gospel newspapers. That's part of telling folks and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. It gives hope. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 10. Or saith he it altogether for our sakes, no doubt. This is written that he that ploweth should plow in hope And he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. Notice that whole process. You're plowing and then you're threshing and then you're gathering in all the good stuff. All that's hope. Anything we do for God, you know, it all starts at the beginning. You got to plant, and then you got to thresh, or you get to separate the grain, and then you reap the harvest. That's how it works, folks. You say, how long can you do it? I'm just trying to stay with some of you. Listen to me. When you're planting and you're threshing and you're bringing in the harvest, you know what you're doing? You're hoping all that time. Brother Hayes talked about the corn, gave us all a seed of corn. I don't know about you. I may go out and plant mine. Not now. You plant in April, amen, and the whole time you're hoping. You don't ever think about that little seed as being anything. That's not your goal. Your goal, my goal, probably not with that seed, but my goal is a ear of sweet corn. Glory to God. Slathered in lots and lots of butter with salt and pepper. Hallelujah. Amen. Right? Right? Well, but Kathy, for months now, has you know, every time I say fair, if I say, folks, the weather's fair, yes! What's that all about? That's hope. Because she's going to go plant seed, and then she's going to thresh a little bit, and she's going to reap a harvest. Are you all listening to me? I don't know if you ever farmed or reaped a harvest. Maybe you have a little garden out there, and you're happy when there's a bean. But it's exciting, and it's our hope, and it's a wonderful thing, and every step is part of it. Every step is part of it. My Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And he wants us to do all those things, you know? And the hope is what's he going to do with me? Aren't you excited about that? Don't you want him to use you? Don't you want him to do something with you? Because that's the hope. That's the blessing. Hey, as we're going through people's lives, as I go through all my little notes and things that we've talked about and things about different people and what all they've done, well, you may think that it's just all about, well, you just have to talk. No, you know what I'm doing? I'm saying, Lord, that's because of you. That's because of you, Lord. Annabelle did these things because of you. Pat was able to do these things because of you. Amen. Who gets the glory? He does. Oh, listen, folks. And you know what? You could do something too because of him. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. In all we do as a Christian, everything we do, day in, day out, it's hope. It's hope. Praise God. It's hope. I'm just about done. Especially it's hope. Look at Romans 5. Romans 5. I want you to get this because it's coming. Romans 5, verse 2. Especially. Romans 5, 2, it says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, watch what he says. But we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. What are you going to do? Trouble comes. What are you going to do when it gets bad? What are you going to do? Brother Hayes, in Sunday school, I'm sitting up there. Yes, I was on the edge of my seat. You thought it was because I was ready to go. I was on the edge of my seat much of the service. Because I'm going to tell you, I'm thinking, you know what? We got to stand. And trouble's coming. Trouble's here. Trouble's here. But folks, honestly, God says, if you do this thing right, it's going to make hope even greater in you. the more trouble comes. You say, I'm terrified. Well, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You understand? When you start to understand it's not about you, it's not about me, when we all start to realize that, what about my rights? Okay, phooey on all that evolution junk and humanism garbage. If you got fed that, it's time to spit it out. Uppeth, chucketh it. Because it's no good. It's no good. Here's what my life is all about. It's all about glorifying Him. And bless God, if I got to lose this head to glory and it'll glorify Him, that's all right. Now, I've grown very attached to my head. It'll be okay if you smile. But I got news for you. It is not about me. It's not even about Berean Baptist Church. It's not about any one of you. It's all about Him. And I'm telling you, we just have to keep on standing. And the hope. Here's the hope. Titus 2. Titus 2, verse 13. You say, preacher, this is kind of like a Sunday night message. Well, I got a missionary coming tonight, so I just had to let her go today. Titus 2, verse 13, it says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's coming, folks. He is coming. I talk to folks all the time, and it's especially, you know, as we get older and things aren't working like they used to and everything, it's like, you know, the rapture just sounds like a great idea. Amen. It does too. It really does. But whether it is or not, He is coming. Whether it's a rapture, whether it's, whenever that's going to be, we don't know when it is, but He's coming. These are all just doctrines of hope. That second coming, isn't that? That's a hope, isn't it? Jesus looked down as He was going back, as He was going up, and the angel said, this same Jesus, He's coming again. And those disciples, they said, whoo-hoo! And they looked for Him. You look for Him any lately? Huh? Well, I don't want to miss my favorite show. Well, you know, this is the year my team is going to... You know, the disciples, they looked for Him. That's our hope. That's our hope. 1 Peter 3:15, my last doctrine of hope. Now I give you the last point, and it's real short. See, I've encouraged you. You said, finally, there's real hope. 1 Peter 3, verse 15, he says this, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That means set Him apart in your heart. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That's why, you know, honestly, it's not hard to talk about the Lord when you have hope. It's not hard to go soul winning when you have hope. You know, if you're just kind of, you're kind of shaky on all that, I can understand why it might be a problem. This is why our funerals are different right here. That's why I get up and I talk about Jesus and talk about Him being in, that person is safe in the arms of Jesus. And we sing victory in Jesus. And then we sang, at one of the funerals, we sang, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. And you know, some people, they say, we'll sing and shout the victory. You won't in heaven. You won't in heaven. You're going to have to do some exercises. Start doing that. Get that mouth ready. Amen. Not only to smile, but to shout. Because that's our hope. That's our hope. And you know, when you tell folks about Jesus, you know what that does? It strengthens your hope. The more I tell people, the more I preach it, the more every funeral that we do, it just gets me more and more fired up. Why are our funerals different? Well, because the difference is hope. And then we have the doctrines of hope that we just looked at. And then I close with number 3, and that is the decision to hope. You know, you have to make a decision. I'm sorry. I feel so sorry for people that just can't handle it. I feel so sorry for the lost. I don't know how they ever, Brother Tim, I don't know how they look at a body in a casket. I don't know how they do it. They do it, but I just don't know how they do it. I don't know how the unsaved ever goes to a cemetery. I don't know how they do it. There's no hope. And so you have to choose the decision to hope. Look real quick, Romans 8, verse 24. My last passage, Romans 8 and verse 24. It's a decision that has to be made. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. You know what he's saying? He's saying it's all by faith. It's a decision made by faith. Now, it's all based on all the doctrine that we talked about. You know, the Bible tells us the Word of God is the Word of God. It's His Word. Whatever He says, it's true. And the Word of God tells us that you must be born again. The Word of God tells us that we're all sinners and that Jesus Christ died to pay for our sins. And we have to call upon Him to save us. That's what my Bible tells me. And so the doctrine says I can be saved. The doctrine says I can go to heaven. The doctrine, the Word of God says that heaven is a wonderful place and there's mansions and there's streets of gold and there's people there that we have known in the past and that love us and we love them. And the Bible says all of that. And when I, by faith, say I want to be saved, I'm saying, I believe you, God. I believe what you said. I can't see it. Yeah, I've never seen heaven. You say, oh, I got a testimony. I died and I saw a white. I don't want to hear it. Because I have this testimony right here. And I believe it. You see, it's a decision to hope. It's based on what the Bible says. It's based on the doctrine of what the Bible says. And it's a matter of simply accepting what God said, trusting Him with it, and then hoping. And living my life day after day. And if you don't do it, you have no hope. You have no comfort. If you've never been saved, you have no hope. I'm not mad at you. I'm trying to help you, honestly. You have no hope and you have no comfort. I watch folks in funeral. I can almost tell you as I'm preaching, if I had my glasses on, I could see people better. I could almost tell you who's not saved and who is just by what I'm talking about. And I start talking about heaven and I talk about that person in heaven and I see them light up and a big smile on their face. I watched three daughters yesterday right here. Three daughters, they're just smiling, grinning ear to ear. You know? Why? Their mama's in heaven. I saw a couple folks out in the crowd that were like, and I thought, boy, there's such a difference. It's up to you. By the way, Christian, you say, well, I'm not quite as excited about this as you are. You can be. But it's all your walk. It's your time with the Lord. He says, your hope, it'll grow. It just grows the more you're in this book, the more you walk with God, the more you tell other people, the more you proclaim the truth of the Word of God. God wants us to have that hope. That hope, I'm telling you, it is such a blessing to have. You know, honestly, Kathy, I'm looking forward to next week standing up here and telling them, hey, we had these people got saved. And then there will be story after story after story, you know, of how God brought somebody our way so we could give them hope. And they took it. That was me years ago. That was you. We had no hope. Let's bow our heads, please. Why are our funerals different? Because we have hope. We have hope. Heads are